A great to VCSA, you should.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 26. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me as always is your friend and mine, Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, man?
Feeling special.
Special? Why?
I was going to say, I just
in a good way
packages.
Special or a special, no, like, need special help?
No. Special. I feel neat. Like, I just got some fun packages from Amazon in the mail. So.
Oh, nice, nice. What'd you get?
I got some security cameras for the house.
Okay. All right. You're going to be geeking out on security?
Yeah. I'm like connecting them to my Synology and like, yeah, I've got a wireless repeater I need to install. Like,
are you going to be the guy at work that's like all day logging on to see like,
what's my dog doing? What's he doing? Oh, he sleeps all day. Yeah. I already know my dog sleeps all day long. So nice. There's really no need for that.
Nice. Nice. So yeah, listen, John, we had a couple of, I know you didn't get any audio at VMworld. Thanks so much for that. But I did get a bunch of audio and I didn't get to play all of it yesterday. So I had a couple of clips. I'm not going to play. I'm going to give you a choice. So I'll give you a couple and you tell me which one you want to hear. We're going to play one of them. So you can hear, let's see, I got Jace. Jace McCarty actually did a Road Warrior interview with someone, someone at a booth. I got Geek Whispers. I spoke to them. I got Howard Marks totally geeking out on policy-based management and how he thinks Fiber Channel's dead, which I thought was funny. And then one of the listeners, Sergio Munoz, also, I spoke to him. So which one you want to hear?
Let's start with Geek Whispers. I'm curious what they're up to.
All right, so that's the one we'll play. Let's do a little Geek Whispers.
All right, I'm here at the VMware Hangout space with now finally all three of the Geek Whispers. Last time I had you guys on my podcast, it was just two of three. Amy, John, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah. Doing fine.
And Matt, finally, welcome to the VSpeaking podcast.
Oh, it's very nice to meet you. Yeah, my pleasure.
So I think it's really cool. You guys were just doing a live podcast here in the Hangout space, which to me is just like the epitome of IT community. I love that you guys do those kind of things. So what were you guys talking about?
We've been focusing a lot on IT careers. So we were talking about Frank Denneman, about the pros and cons of various titles and how to change your job gracefully and what he's up to these days.
Yeah, it hit home for me because Frank's always done a great job of being that in between, that voice of the customer, but also being really deep in engineering, yeah. But also being admired by marketing. Marketing and sales, so it's tough to categorize them, and that can lead to some awkward titling, and I think he does a great job of explaining his journey.
I totally agree with that. As long as I've known him, there are certain people in this community that you totally respect because you know they're not going to just give you fluff. They're not going to speak the corporate, you know, jargon just to basically further a specific product. He's going to tell you what's wrong with it, what's right with it. He's going to give you, but he's also going to dig deep and give you accurate information. So guys like that are so precious. As a VMware employee, I'm super excited that he's back.
Yeah, it's good. It was interesting to watch his transitions now that he's back at VMware. Another topic that we were talking about is evangelism. A lot of people in our community, the day-to-day IT jobs are, you know, very architectural and operational. And sometimes people get stars in their eyes and go, wow, I'd love to be an evangelist. I'd like to go around the world and talk about technology. And we really kind of drilled down the fact that actually it's a hard job and one that I don't recommend actually for most people.
It's true.
Absolutely. Not everybody's cut out for that because I think people see the front-facing part of it and go, oh, that's what I want to be. But the truth is, if you don't put the work in when you're not in front of the light, then you're not going to be a very successful evangelist.
And, you know, at the end of the day, even like you, Pete, right, a lot of these roles in vendor, when you go to vendor land, it's about communicating, and you're a communicator. And so what you do is you do a lot of writing and a lot of explaining, and that's your day job, you know, day in, day out, no matter what your audience is.
Awesome. Well, I'm not going to keep you guys all day, but I really appreciate you coming, and we need to do another co-hosting podcast and just overlap one more time. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I'll show up next time.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Geek Whispers at VMworld. They're doing their thing. Those guys are really fun. Do you listen to the Geek Whispers podcast?
Yeah,
those guys are good. I also had a chance to speak to the guy who we're going to be bringing on the call here in just a minute, Mr. Ahmad Yunus, and here's what Ahmad had to say.
Joining me now from VMware is Ahmad Yunus. Ahmad, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm exhausted. I think we both sound like Barry White right now.
Yeah, it's been a long 2 days already. I can't believe it's, what, Wednesday now?
Yeah, so you got a pretty exciting topic that you're getting ready to present. Why don't you share with us a little sneak preview?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about migration from a Windows vCenter server to the vCenter server appliance.
That can happen?
Yeah, believe it or not.
All right, yeah. We're not going to take too much of your time, but we want to invite you to come on the podcast and give us a deep dive on this migration thing you're working on. What do you say?
Definitely. Let's wait until we have some news to announce, and then we'll definitely be on the podcast.
Sounds good. Hopefully by then we'll have our voices back.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, take care, Ahmad.
Thanks.
And so without any further ado, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Ahmad Yunus.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's it going, man? Your voice is better.
Yeah, yeah. What, it's been a couple of weeks now after VMworld?
Yeah, I heard you had quite the list of sessions to do. I think you had like five or six sessions to do.
Yeah, yeah. First time presenter and five sessions, and each one had its own unique style. So I did a panel, I did a couple of co-presenting, and then I did a solo.
Yeah, that's right. You did one with Adam Eckerly, I know that, right?
Yep. And then I did two with Blair Fritz, and then we did the panel. With we had Adam, myself, Ryan, Blair, and Dilpreet, who's a director of engineering here at VMware.
Yep, yep.
So yeah.
So your first time being first year as a VMware employee and baptism by fire, they just throw you into like six sessions. That's great.
Well, I mean, you know, you have your sessions, you have your meet the experts, all that. But at the end of the day, it's really for the customers. And, you know, it's a great learning experience. And you guys know, I mean, you guys are also brand new to VMware. As soon as you come on board, they just turn on that fire hose and
oh yeah,
it just keeps going. So if you can show you can handle it, it just they actually attach another hose and bring on the second one, right? So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had six sessions as well. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, same boat. It was nuts.
You know, for me, there's no place I'd rather be. I love this place. I mean, it's the people, the products. It's we got a lot of good things coming.
For sure, for sure. Speaking of which, I'm wearing my Migrate to VCSA shirt. You should.
Migrate to VCSA, you should.
Oh, man.
I can't believe you captured that.
I did. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, during the pre-brief, we were talking about this, and I captured Ahmad doing a little voiceover for us.
Migrate to VCSA, you should.
Yes.
Well done, man. Are you blushing?
No. I just find it funny.
I just feel this compulsion, this need to move to a VCSA now and get rid of Windows from my environment.
I agree to VCSA, you should.
Absolutely. Cool, man. Well, hey, let's do it. Let's dive into this a little bit. So you just put a blog post out there today on blogs.vmware.com. This is the it's kind of like our virtual blocks, but this is the vSphere version. So it's blogs.vmware.com/vSphere. And the title of the blog post is vCenter Server Migration Tool, vSphere 6.0 Update 2M. So tell us about that. What is this vSphere 6.0 Update 2M all about?
All right. So first of all, I guess, you know, the M stands for migration, right? This is unique because it's not your typical update release. There are no updates. There's no fixes. This is just strictly the migration tool itself.
Okay.
And what this release will allow us to do is we can migrate now from a Windows vCenter 5.5 to a vCenter Server Appliance 6.0 U2. It's an end-to-end fully automated tool. And it doesn't matter, as long as you're on a supported database from 5.5, we'll bring you in to vPostgres embedded into the appliance. So it's pretty simple. We do all the heavy lifting for you.
I remember there was a fling about this before. Can you clarify what's different from, obviously, flings from the actual release here?
Yeah, so the fling was brought out during, I believe it was 2013, and it was the VCS to VA converter fling. And it was based on a winning idea from a customer who, you know, participated in the annual Fling contest. And it allowed us to basically migrate from a Windows vCenter Server 5.5 to a vCenter Server Appliance 5.5. Now, one of the differences was this only had a subset of features built in because they wanted to get it out quicker and get customer feedback, right? And based on those learnings, we now have vSphere 6.0 Update 2M.
Okay, so this was based on the Fling, but the Fling was sort of didn't have all of the features and the compatibility with vSphere as this new version does.
Yeah, I mean it's based off the learnings, right? I mean, so there's new features, there's things that we can do here that we couldn't do with the Fling, and again, it's all based on improving what wasn't in the fling itself.
Okay. Okay. Let's just pretend I've never used this appliance before, and I'm just used to using my Windows server for vCenter. Why would I want to go to this vCenter server appliance?
Well, first, the appliance now is feature parity since 6.0. And what I mean by feature parity, it's basically the same scale as your Windows counterpart you have today. So you don't have to worry about number of hosts, number of VCs, completely supported. We also support link mode, right? We have actually what's called enhanced link mode in 6.0. And if you have an external deployment, once you join a vCenter server to that particular SSO domain, to that PSC, you get enhanced link mode by default. So that's there as well. But there's other benefits to the appliance today. I mean, we have quick provisioning. If you compare it to its Windows counterpart, right? I mean, you have to deploy Windows, deploy VM, install Windows, you know, patch it, go through all that mundane tasks. Ugh. And even if you did the template, right? Even if you templatized Windows, you still have to patch it at some point, things like that. So with the appliance, it's a lot quicker when it comes to provisioning. We don't have to worry about operating system or database licensing. So that's a huge one, right? We'll save you a ton of costs right there.
Okay.
Minimal database maintenance. I mean, if you think about your Windows vCenter, you actually have to maintain SQL. There's a lot of things you have to do to make sure that, you know, there's roll-up jobs, there's backups, things like that that you have to put in consideration. And usually you require a specialized individual for that, right? A DBA.
Yeah.
Whereas with the appliance, we manage everything. It's all in one box. You don't have to worry about talking to your DBA or anything like that. We own that stack, right? So if you have any issues, you just contact VMware, GSS, and they'll help you right there. And then the last thing I would probably want to point out is when it comes to patching, if you think about it, with Windows, especially in large organizations, you would have to patch your operating system. And usually there's a team for that. And then you would have to pass that VM or vCenter server along to the VI team, right? The virtualization team. And they're going to have to patch vCenter. Whereas with the appliance, it's all bundled in one, right? When I click patch, I'm patching the OS, I'm patching vCenter at the same time, right? So I don't have to pass it back and forth.
Nice.
So that's why there's a little picture of a penguin on your blog post over there. So what's the operating system on the appliance?
So we're going from Windows to Linux, so SLES.
No, of course, but what version of Linux are you using?
SLES is SUSE.
Oh, SUSE. Yeah.
SUSE? I used to have a friend of mine that was a hardcore Gen 2 guy, and everything had to be Gen 2. Have you ever used Gen 2 before?
Oh, God. Gen 2 people are the worst.
Aren't they?
Like, that's the one where you compile everything by hand with
exactly.
Flags. So you can get an extra 2% performance out of your Athlon, you know, K2 back in the day or whatever. I mean, I always liken Gentoo users to being the equivalent of that guy who buys like a 15-year-old like Civic and then puts like ridiculous, you know, gets like a giant exhaust and puts like an after, like a, you know, like a miniature rocket on the back. And you know, a giant couple fins like that. That's what a Gentoo user is. He drives that kind of car. Because the cold air intake makes this 15-year-old Honda Civic drive faster.
Exactly.
So just to be clear on the migration, this will work for, you know, every different supported database, different topologies, internal, external PSCs. Are there any limitations in terms of what it'll migrate from or what it'll migrate to?
Okay, so again, as you know, stated earlier, we're only migrating from, you know, Windows vCenter 5.5 to an appliance 6.0U2. As far as database support, anything that we support from a vCenter 5.5 perspective, we will migrate over. So it doesn't matter if it's, you know,
Express.
SQL, Oracle, Express even, right? If it's external or even if you have it, you know, in the case of Express embedded, we'll still migrate it over. So there's, you know, we no issues there. Topologies is actually an interesting one. And in the future, I'll have some blog posts around this. But one thing you need to consider is if you're currently on vCenter 5.5 and you have multiple pockets of SSO domains and you want to consolidate, now's the time to do it because you can't do that once you get to 6.0 currently, right? So that's one thing you want to make sure you get done. If you already have your SSO domain topology taken care of and you're good there, you can actually migrate over as you are. So if you're embedded today or, you know, simple, I guess is what we called it in 5.5, you'll come over as embedded. If you have that customized deployment in 5.5, you'll come over as external. So we don't change topologies during the migration. But let's say, for example, you decided that, hey, I'm embedded today, but I want to go external. You can migrate over embedded. And then you can repoint once you're over in 6.0 using CM SSO util.
Yeah, I've heard that that's a lot easier in the 6.0 branch, and that's exciting because a lot of people didn't really think about PSC. They didn't think about SSO domains that much, you know, in the 5.5 days. It was kind of a newer thing to many people, and so they were just kind of mashing enter as they did the install, and now they're themselves because they want to have this beautiful, be able to log into one vCenter and see everything across their entire, you know, domain and estate. And so that's nice that you can use this migration. You can use this migration and then follow it up with that migration to get you in that beautiful single domain land.
Yeah.
So what do? I just download this tool and then it does the migration for me? Are there options? Like I think I read something that the older version had like an install and upgrade versus just a migrate now. So it's basically a couple of steps and I'm migrating.
Yeah, so in vSphere 6.0 update 2, you had install and upgrade when you deployed the setup HTML. Now you just see migrate for U2M. And what's going to happen is there's a couple of steps. We have what's called the migration assistant, and it serves two purposes. First, it actually is the pre-checker. It's going to go out there and kind of validate your environment and make sure that you're in good shape to migrate. If you have any issues, you know, it's going to let you know before you can even start the migration. So that has to run.
That's good.
It's also going to warn you if you have any kind of extensions installed on your Windows vCenter server, and it'll give you some resolutions. It's also going to show you what your configuration looks like today and what it will look like, you know, going over. So for example, it'll say like, hey, your deployment is a Windows vCenter 5.5 with an embedded, you know, VMware single sign-on, and you're going to go over to a, you know, vCenter server appliance 6.0 with an embedded platform services controller, right? So at the end of the day, you know that you're going from embedded to embedded. Like I stated earlier, we're not changing topologies, right? And then the good thing about the migration assistant is it also gives you the steps. So at any point in time, you kind of, you know, lose your train of thought or go on a coffee break and come back and you're like, where is this thing at? You can take a look at it and it'll show you, you know, the steps. So that's the first piece. Once you've launched that and it comes up and says, hey, waiting for migration to start, the other purpose it serves is it's the actual transport mechanism that we use to transport the data between the Windows server and the vCenter server appliance.
Okay.
So that's the importance of the migration assistant. And I can't stress enough to not shut down the migration assistant during the migration process, because if you do, you've basically just killed your migration and you have to start over. So, I mean, there's a banner there that tells you not to do it. It'll say, you know, not close this console until the migration is complete. But, you know, you may get it confused with another command line window or something and accidentally close it. So highly recommend once you get it up and running and it tells you that, hey, migration is ready to start, don't even, you know, touch it. Just let it do its thing, right? The next part is you're going to fire up on a separate box, because we don't want to run this on the actual Windows vCenter server itself, right? The migration assistant you will, but the actual setup.html, you're actually going to run that on a separate box that can talk on the same network to your Windows vCenter server. And you're going to hit that migrate button. And once that comes up, there's a wizard. And it's the same, almost the same wizard as you had in 6.0 U2, except there's some other questions in regards to target BCSA and some other things. You actually get to select your disk size as well. So you can actually increase your disk size during this process. And once you go through that wizard, you hit finish and it's going to go out. It's going to deploy a new BCSA and it's going to basically migrate your data over. Now, one good thing about this process is, by default, your configuration, your inventory, and your alarm data all come over. You have the option of actually bringing over historical and performance data if you choose.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah. So
that's what's held back a lot of people is because if they're feeding that information into VROPS or something else, or if they're not, you know, they may want to be holding on to that data.
Yeah, I mean, if you're feeding it into VROPS, then, you know, it's not a big deal because you have VROPS that already has that information. If it's important to you for auditing purposes and things like that, and you need to bring it over, that's fine. We give you that option. It's just a simple checkbox. But keep in mind, when you check that box, you're going to increase your migration time. So
sure,
miles may vary.
I like starting over fresh. I like everything all clean and new and shiny. But
And so this is for upgrades. There's not a lateral move, right? So if I was on vCenter 6 and I wanted to move to the appliance, I don't do that, right? This is strictly for upgrades, right?
Yeah. So I mean, if you think about it, this is actually a migration and an upgrade, right? Because we're migrating your data, but we're also taking you from 5.5 to 6.0, right? So it's kind of a two-step process in one. As far as your question, which is, you know, the million-dollar question, right? Today, we do not have a way to do a horizontal migration. If this is something that you're interested in, please reach out to me on Twitter, or at least reply back to the hashtag migrate to VCSA and let us know. These are things that they're under consideration. That's all I can say.
Did you just say that your Twitter handle was?
Migrate to VCSA, you should.
Was that?
No, that's not my Twitter handle. That's yes. That's the hashtag.
Oh, the hashtag. To use.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is Ahmad_Yunus.
Oh, okay. But then the hashtag is.
Agreed to BCSA, you should.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Well, remove you should. Okay. I can't believe you still got that. That's pretty funny still.
Let's see. Oh, that's good.
Agreed to BCSA.
And one thing, I mean, obviously, you know, no forward-looking statements. We don't make these on the podcast. But I did notice in the new version of, even if you are deploying a new Windows vCenter, you now get Postgre as the database, even on Windows. So it looks like, you know, me not knowing any better, that a lot of roads are leading towards VCSA in terms of, you know, the platform's already Tomcat. Now you're getting the same database even on Windows if you do a net new deployment.
Yeah, I mean, VMware's direction and stance is appliance first. And if you've attended certain sessions during VMworld, one of them being my migration session or the session with myself and Adam Eckerle, our guide to the galaxy, we actually kind of talked about some futures. Of course, the disclaimer applies, right? May or may not make it in the final product. But we talked about other benefits that could potentially be coming to the vCenter server appliance.
And for those of you trying to find that session right now furiously and trying to navigate through the vCenter site.
Yeah, first like pull over. First
pull over. Then go to William Lamb's GitHub, where he's written a script that crawls the entire VMworld site and makes an easy to browse download catalog of all of our VMworld sessions.
He's great.
Actually, even better. Yeah, I mean, William's amazing. But William actually today created another GitHub site that has everything related to migration.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that on the show notes of this page.
On the show notes. Yeah, that will definitely be going out.
But so my two cents on that is look, we're not going to speak futures, but I think I heard a little birdie told me that there's going to be another version of vSphere in the future and in the not so distant future. And so if you're one of those people that is considering going from vSphere 6, you might want to just hold on for a little while and then you can upgrade very shortly.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, I hear you.
The lawyers are listening and I'm not. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like I said, you know. Watch that space.
Watch that space.
Yes, yes, I would watch that space. The other thing I want to point out is that we preserve the identity of your vCenter server, which is one thing that we couldn't do before when you did a manual migration or even a scripted migration, right? We had some complexities there. But preserving that IP address, FQDN, and the UUID, which is critical, right? Because that's what other products, that's how they talk to vCenter.
Yes.
So now, as far as they're concerned, it is the same old vCenter. Nothing has changed, right?
Certificates.
We also bring over certificates, MoRef IDs. Yeah, I mean, the whole personality of that vCenter, I mean, the system name as well comes over. I mean, that's part of the FQDN. Now, the inventory name can be changed, but the system name itself cannot.
Yeah, that's huge because now we don't have to worry about this being a different vCenter server. This is essentially the same one, although it's just an appliance. That's beautiful.
Exactly. And when you did a manual migration or you did a scripted migration, again, you had to spin up a whole new vCenter, and that had a lot of pain points within itself just from that piece. But then when you had other solutions that had to talk, it's like, wait a minute, this is a new guy, right?
So I got one quick question here. Obviously, this migration tool, it's an appliance, and I assume it comes packages OVF or OVA. Can we actually automate using the OVA deployment tool, the actual settings you put in it? Can you actually fully automate the migration?
So to answer your question, we actually have, it's an ISO. It's exactly just like the 6.0 appliance. It comes in an ISO, and there's actually a template directory where we can actually use JSON templates
Okay,
to automate, yeah, and I'll have a blog post coming out really soon walking you through that as well. And the other thing I want to point out is we also support physical vCenter migrations as well to the appliance. What do you say to that?
Ooh, wait, hold on. Physical vCenters still exist? Like, attention listeners, if you're still running a physical vCenter, I want you to tweet that at me, @loss_signal, because I want to know who you are and buy you a drink at the next VMworld and talk about how I feel sorry for you. Because
to VCSA, you should.
Exactly. You should. Your vCenter should be enjoying VMware High Availability and vMotion for operation.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to virtualizing. But if you remember back in the day when we used to use like Converter, right, to bring over our physical vCenter servers. So if we had them on like Dell boxes or HP boxes and had to use Converter and then had to do all that cleanup work to remove all the third-party stuff, with this migration tool, you don't even have to worry about it because we take you from that physical box, right, to a vCenter server appliance, just like you would a virtual machine. So no cleanup work needed afterwards, which is amazing.
No giant PowerShell scripts to remove phantom device drivers and fiber channel pathing, you know, software that no longer exists.
Nope.
PDVs, how I will miss them.
So it's all there, yeah.
I was going to ask, but I answered my own question. I was going to say, do you migrate storage policy-based management? Like, so, you know, vVols, maybe I've created a bunch of VM storage policies and I want to migrate them over. The current version would be migrating from 5.x or 5.5 to version 6. And so there is no SPBM in 5.5 for virtual volume. So
no, not in this release, but...
But make sure you tell your product manager that I'll be looking for that when we go to the next version of vSphere. I want to be able to migrate my VM storage policies, my policy-based management.
Well, if you think about it, it's part of your configuration, right?
Yeah. So we have vSAN in 5.5. So actually, yeah, we have to migrate the SPBM policies.
Nice.
From doing a 5.5 to 6. So that should already be covered.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I guess the elephant in the room here is, what about Update Manager? I know some people may be guilty of putting their Update Manager on the same host as their vCenter server. I always like putting on a Poser somewhere else. But what are we doing about VMware Update Manager? Is that, I think, still has a Windows dependency in 6, correct?
Yeah, in 6.0, it still has a dependency. So you're going to run into two scenarios. If VUM is already running externally on another VM, then you're fine. You can migrate, no issues. Once you're done migrating, though, you're going to have to upgrade that VUM box to 6.0, right? Because it has to match same version as vCenter.
Yep.
If you're running VUM on the same, you know, VM or box as, you know, your vCenter 5.5, before you can migrate, you have to externalize. And here's the reason. During the migration process, you know, there's going to be a shutdown of that Windows source vCenter. And the reason being is we have to take the identity, right? In order to do that, we can't have them both up at the same time. So once we shut down that box, that Windows vCenters, anything living on it will not be accessible, right? So VUM is the example there, right? If I have VUM running on the same box, once I shut that down, I won't have access to VUM. Now, could you spin up a whole new VUM server and connect it to your VCSA? You can, but you've already exhausted IP addresses and FQDN and all that for it. So you can externalize it and then do the migration. We actually have documentation walking you through how to do that.
Perfect. I'll be sure to put that on the show notes as well.
The other thing I want to kind of bring up is, you know, we talked about it earlier. This is a migration, but also an upgrade. So your standard compatibility matrix and interoperability checks, and you have to do those, right? So you have to realize that I'm going to 6.0 and any solution in my environment, not only your VMware solutions, but your third-party solutions. Anything that talks to vCenter as an endpoint needs to be able to support 6.0. So you need to go out and check, you know, VMware's got our interoperability matrix, so you can check that. But also, again, third-party solution, go check your vendor sites. Make sure that anything you're going to bring that talks to vCenter is actually going to support 6.0. Because once you migrate and have upgraded, you know, at the same time to the appliance, it's now 6.0. So anything that was talking to 5.5 may not be compatible. So you want to make sure that before you even do this, just like you would a regular upgrade, that you've checked everything and you're willing to take some of that downtime, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a migration, but like you said, it's also an upgrade. So act as if this is an upgrade.
Yeah. I mean, think of it like, you know, we've done all the heavy lifting for you. So if migrating to a new appliance was going to take you, let's say, a weekend to do because you were going to, you know, do it manually, or you were going to do all the scripting, or whatever. We've already done that heavy lifting for you. You are now on the appliance. Hurrah. Now you got to think about all the solutions that we're connecting to that vCenter. How am I going to get those upgraded, or, you know, can I wait? Whatever. The other good thing is, let's say you did migrate and you had an issue or whatever the case, and you needed to roll back. We don't make any changes to your original source Windows vCenter. Because again, we migrate the data over and we shut it down. So now it's shut down. If something does happen, we actually have a rollback KB, but in simple terms, you would turn off the appliance, remove it from inventory. You would fire up your old Windows vCenter.
Sure.
You would actually have to log in locally, because part of the migration process too is we join that appliance to the domain just like your Windows box. So since we're assuming the identity, we're going to have to go back and rejoin that Windows box to the domain, but that's it. And you're back up and running.
Yeah, so no changes have been made to the original server, right? So it's going to have the same UUID and everything. So you just join it to the domain so it recognizes it in Active Directory, and then you're back in business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, caveats there is you want to make sure that you haven't upgraded any other of the solution, because then you'd have to roll back that other solution. So you kind of have to almost think this out and make sure that you have a migration plan, because that doesn't change, right? The migration process itself has changed. We've given you a tool, but the methodology behind it hasn't changed. You still have other things to consider.
The logistics and the check boxes you have to, you know, to verify everything are still there, but at least the actual process itself is radically simplified.
Yeah, exactly. One key item that I would recommend going out and checking out is we have a FAQ out there, and it answers a ton of questions about migration and, you know, things you should do, things you shouldn't do. Highly recommend checking that out first. We have some other KBs as well. Also, there's documentation. And at the same time, you know, myself, William Lamb, we also have some blog posts out there, videos. And I'll be releasing a lot more blog posts here in the coming weeks on things like how to automate this, things like, you know, my topologies. So stay tuned.
I like it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, on the bottom of your blog post, I see you've got this whole next steps, and then there's a knowledge base articles. It's got all the FAQs. You've even got a demo video here that walks through the entire migration process. You've got the release notes and everything. So very, very complete blog post. I'll be sure to make sure we get all of that on the show notes. Very cool.
Are you going to be in Barcelona?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have 3 sessions in Barcelona.
Nice.
I've got 2.
I say that like it's not much, right? But we all know that anything beyond 1 session is,
I had 6 in Vegas, and I only have 2 in Barcelona.
You know, the one thing about Barcelona, I saw this last year and I expect to see it again. You get really good questions in EMEA, like deep technical questions.
Yeah,
they are a much more technical audience. I'm not really sure how that works out, but especially in the ratings, it's always funny with it. You'll deliver the exact same session in Vegas, and then your feedback will be like, oh, this is very technical. And then you'll deliver the same session in Europe, and it'll be like, oh, this was not technical enough.
Yeah, and the jokes, they don't get the jokes over there. So like you were saying, the same session, you may want to change it up a little bit.
Okay, who are we making fun of? The Germans. Yes, the Germans. There we are. Or Brexit. Brexit, that's what the kids are laughing at now. Let's put Brexit jokes in.
For the migration, before I forget, anything you have installed, like one thing you may want to consider is anything you have installed on your Windows vCenter server before migrating, make sure you grab it. Like, so if you have scripts or anything like that, you know, pull them off. Anything installed on there, you know, you may have to externalize, such as VUM, because again, once we shut it down, you no longer have access to it. If you did have a, you know, of course, if you had local login, you could always uncheck the NICs and log in, because if you try to power it on, you're going to get an IP conflict. So just keep
that in mind. The other thing you can do there is just grab the VMDK and attach it to another VM, Windows VM, and mount the disk. Like if you move VUM somewhere else, then just go attach the VMDK there, and that way you can grab your scripts. But your scripts should be stored in an orchestrator, right? I mean, you should, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'd be surprised.
Okay, so tune in next week for things a mod has found on people's Windows vCenter servers. Oh, and shocking things. This sounds like a clickbait headline.
Pretty much.
Now, mod, I've got these photos I need from that old Windows vCenter server. I've actually got, you know, my install of Zork 2 is on there, you know. During maintenance windows, I'd play Zork.
I had, what was it? I saw somebody hosting MP3s on their vCenter server.
No.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. Like a terabyte worth of MP3s.
Wow.
Those don't get migrated, right?
No, those don't get migrated.
Unless they found a way to put them in the database, in which case I'm just impressed at that point. I'm impressed.
I need these indexed and in alphabetical order.
Well, you know, I had to install a SQL server, so I figured I might as well use it for some other thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that seems like a pretty good introduction to this new vCenter server migration tool. I will definitely leave all the links on this on the show notes for this page. Mr. Ahmad, how can people get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you?
So Twitter, @Ahmad_Yunus. You can also catch me on my blog, ahmadyunus.com. Yeah, I know I'm creative, but it just simplifies things and it's an easy way to get a hold of me. But yeah, those are the best two ways to get a hold of me.
And if you send a message to him on Twitter, be sure to use the hashtag.
I agree to BCSA, you should.
Drop the you should.
Minus yeah. The you should. Yeah, exactly. John, you got any more questions for Ahmad before we take off?
I got nothing. I'll hunt him down on Twitter.
Oh, gosh.
Awesome. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about the Dell merger. I think that's our new parent company. And so until then, bye for now.
Migrate to BCSA, you should.
Yes, migrate to BCSA, you should.
Woohoo!
I have a funny feeling that soundbite's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
Pete is right.
Enough of this jibber jabber.